I might express our thanks for all the blessings that we have enjoyed this good day. Amen. And the fellowship together and in the meetings and the Word of God, how precious to our souls. And again, as I've said, it's the request of our brothers here and sisters that there be a gospel, and we're happy for that. And like we were hearing earlier, when I look out in the audience, all of us can benefit and rejoice in the gospel tidings. So let us pray. It's important that we ask God's help and his blessing at a time like this. Father, we have come together tonight, and we give thanks for the privilege that we have in a land of peace and quiet and safety, able to meet together in this capacity with the Word of God, the Scriptures, and open and read them and speak from them and make plain God's way of salvation. We bless you again for visitation. The Lord Jesus came from heaven, not to do his own will, but to please his Father who had sent him, and ultimately and finally to go to the cross and be the bearer of our sin, who his own self bare our sin and his own body upon the tree. He provided for us salvation, the free gift, the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Should there be anybody, a young person, or maybe just somebody, and they've grown and heard the gospel, maybe many times, maybe some, it's a new story. Lord, we pray that there might be good understanding, that their spiritual eyes might be open to see their deep, deep need of the Lord Jesus and salvation from sin and death in its penalty. God forbid that any should go from a meeting like this out into eternity without the Savior. Oh, Father, he's given that sweet invitation to come. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Bless the word, we pray, and ask for help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read, please, in the gospel again. Turn, if you have a Bible. If not, just listen carefully. You'll follow in Mark, the gospel again of Mark, and please in chapter number 5. In Mark chapter 5, and we'll read this account, a true account in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we're thinking of Mark and wonderful the servanthood of the Lord Jesus. He came to serve in a very special way. He was God's faithful servant. Behold my servant. I like to think that in the opening chapters of Mark, maybe we were instructed in this already, I would say from chapter 1 to chapter 5, it is a servant and his service. The Lord Jesus, the servant. Okay? And so you have this account. I'm looking Mark 5 and verse number 25. You have this account given in, it's important, you have it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I like the kind of the extended account in as we're given here in Mark. So we'll read, please, in at verse number 25 down a ways here. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd, the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and she told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Wonderful account here of the Lord Jesus Christ and this woman. I like to think of her, just to put a heading on it, the woman who spent all that she had, but nothing bettered. She rather grew worse. And in the midst of all that, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a comfort and joy that salvation, shall we just sum it up and say, everything is found in Christ. If there's nothing out there, she discovers that everything is found in Christ. And somehow she had heard, no doubt, about the Lord Jesus. And if she could only draw near, and her faith would take her, if she could only draw near and approach the Lord Jesus Christ and touch but the hem of his garment, she would be cured. What faith this woman had. So I'm thinking, maybe just to follow, I'll give three simple headings that you might consider. I was thinking about her condition, number one, her condition. And then I was thinking about her efforts. And finally, I was thinking about her cure. And that was very special, her faith in the Lord Jesus. So back over it now. What about her condition? Well, she had this troubling plague and sickness and affliction for a great period of time. When I read here, 12 years. Immediately, I can relate to that in a very special way, because her plague, that which was physical, reminds us of a spiritual condition in which we're all found. And I'll try and just explain that in a moment. But the 12, I was saved. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 12. And so this story just, you know, it brought that back to mind. Her condition, her sickness, her affliction, all her trouble, all her spending of all her savings, the medicine, the doctors, the pills, the prescription, all that she had gone through until she had what? She had spent all that she had. That was her condition. What did she have? She had absolutely nothing without the Lord Jesus. And it reminds us again and again of our spiritual condition. You know what? This sickness, according to the Mosaic law, it made her unclean. Come now. Our sin has made us unclean in the sight of a holy God. The prophet Isaiah, he tells us, he says, Isaiah 64, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. At Romans 3 again, read it carefully. Come down to Romans 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now I know, and you would be just like the speaker, you would possibly be hiding behind many, many self-righteous acts. Little deeds maybe that you thought you could do or have done. You know, for me it was my prayers, my meeting attendance, and I thought somehow my good deeds would be of value in the sight of a holy God. And I put on top of all that how hard I would try to believe. and I made it such an effort. But to discover, to admit, to recognize that I was unclean. Again, what does the prophet Isaiah say? Isaiah 1, is it verse number 6? It says, from the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I'm going to say and suggesting that is sin that has so defiled, harmed, corrupted us in the sight of a holy God. And you know, if there's ever going to be deliverance, if there's ever going to be salvation, we must face this first of all, the need, because of sin. A few little things about sin. You could think a moment of the entrance of sin. The entrance of sin into our world, Adam and Eve in the beginning, when they, a single act of disobedience, it had terrible consequences. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. It was true. They were separated from God because of sin. Sin separates from God. Isaiah the prophet again. Your sins have, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has hid his face from you. Sin is such a defiling thing and separating thing. And the Bible says that sin pays its wages, doesn't it? Romans 6 and 23, you know it? The wages of sin is death. Sin has consequences. But you know, my friend, tonight, the good news, and I want to develop that, the good news is the forgiveness of sin. We could speak about the entrance of sin, yes, and how that sin separates from God, yes, and sin pays its wages, yes, but there's forgiveness. And let me assure you that the blood of which we sung, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Those of us who are saved tonight are redeemed at a tremendous cost. We're purchased, bought at a tremendous cost, the precious blood of Christ. Peter makes that plain, doesn't he, when he says, we're not redeemed with silver and gold, corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. My dear friend tonight, what about your spiritual condition? Would you face it? It is hopeless, and you are helpless in the sight of God. And it can't be a reformation. It can't be your good deeds. It can't be religion. Salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad that amidst all the multitude, the crowd of people, this woman would seek out the Lord Jesus. And this reminds us of her efforts. Her efforts. I wonder, she tried many things, didn't she? She would have visited many doctors. But let me tell you, when it comes to the spiritual condition, all human efforts fail. And this woman here, what a picture. She spent all she had. You know, I think of her really described as hopeless and helpless, without strength. What does that little verse in Romans 5 and 6 say? When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, my beloved, that was good news ringing in my ears. When I was in that desperate condition, having tried all those human efforts, having tried those things that I mentioned earlier, and finding no peace, that's the word, no rest in that, no salvation in that. You know what happened one night? I kind of went to my father about this, and I said, you know, I'm so uncertain. And I got no rest and no peace and no assurance about my salvation. You know what he did? He never questioned it. You know what he did? He just got the Bible down. And he began to read those verses. And he said, there it is. These verses. Let me give you a couple of them. Let me give you 1 Peter 3:18. And I remember it distinctly. Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he said to me, who is the just one? Well, I said, the Lord Jesus, in the verse. And he said to me, who is the unjust one? For the first time, I was honest about my spiritual condition. And I said, that was me. He read many other verses. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement bringing us peace was put upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You know what happened? I was left all alone. All alone. He went away. All alone with those verses and struggling. I'll tell you what happened. I saw my spiritual condition by the eye of faith. I saw that I was a sinner. I admitted it. But here was a great admission. I said, oh God, I offered up a little prayer. I said, I have tried this and I've tried that. All to no avail. I said, my condition in your sight is absolutely hopeless. Oh God, I'll have to go down to hell, take the rap for my own sin, because I don't understand. I can't see it. But what came into my mind? What came into my mind there on that occasion was this verse again, 1 Peter 3:18. The just for the unjust. Now there's a word. Substitution. One taking the place of another. Now that word substitution didn't come to my mind, but the whole idea of it did. That Christ was dying in my stead, and that he was paying the punishment for my sin, and that I could be forgiven. And you know what I obtained that night? God's salvation, yes. Peace. I found rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I found in him a resting place. 12 years of age. Anyway, just reminded of that as I read this here story here. Her condition reminded me of my spiritual condition in the sight of a holy God. And it reminded me, my dear friends, I speak tenderly to you. If you're in your sin, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, and you'll land in hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, the love of God. We sung about it. Wonderful words of love. And the person of our Lord Jesus Christ intervening, coming down, being that one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, this one who gave himself a ransom for us all, this one, his word, whosoever wills may come, and whosoever believes on him shall be saved. Oh, my friend, tonight, that you might understand, number one, your spiritual condition, and number two, your human efforts. Any effort that you might put into being saved is to no avail. You have no righteousness. Now, I was shocked recently, and I was having some readings with a dear a dear man, a Muslim man. And you know what? He was morally good living man, and he was reading his Bible. He read his Bible, the Bible I gave him, I don't know how many times, would mark it all up, reading his Bible, time after time, go and visit him, and share with him the gospel. And we were saying about, there's none righteous, no, not one. Yeah, that's what it says. And then we read one time earlier in Mark, you remember the verse, the Lord Jesus Christ said, they that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. I mean, that fits right into the story. The Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what that dear man told me? He said, that's why I don't need the Lord Jesus, because he said, I came not to call the righteous. You know what that man has to this day? He has a self-righteousness. He's patting himself on the shoulder and saying, look what I have done. And he's also saying, he's telling me, the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful prophet. And he's a wonderful miracle worker. But is he any different than Moses? And he gave me the list. I think it slipped out one time he told me. He says, Moses had no sin. Well, we soon addressed that. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ would stand alone, as we've been hearing time again at this conference. He is the blessed Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was divine. Lived a perfect life and voluntarily went to the cross. His sacrifice for our sins, yes, was voluntary. His sacrifice for our sins, propitiation. It answered God. It answered God. It satisfied the heart of God. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ was complete in itself. And God was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And that's why I can find joy, forgiveness, and satisfaction in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him as my substitute, as the one that died in my stead. So this woman here, she drew near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say something about her cure, her faith. It says here in verse number 27, she heard of Jesus. There's no salvation without the Savior. And the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, what a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So she heard of Jesus. You're so privileged, every one of us tonight, to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's going to be faith, there best be the hearing of His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is that you hear. John 5 and 24. He that hears my Word and believes on Him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So the importance of hearing. She heard. What? Religion? Reformation? Good works? No, she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, consider Him. Consider a moment. Faith. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a sure cure for that defiling sin that has struck every one of us. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, this woman I can just visualize, creeping up in the crowd, creeping up, and she knew exactly the person. She could identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a touch, only a touch. But there was something, you know, many people would have rubbed up against the Lord Jesus Christ and brushed by and his garments and so on. But this touch was different, wasn't it? This touch was a touch of faith. She understood. She understood her, well, for her it was a more of a physical condition, although she's going to be so blessed spiritually as well. At the end of her story, she's made whole of her plague. And I take it of the forgiveness of her sins as she's saved. And so there was that touch of faith as she drew near the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus recognized it, didn't he? He knew that virtue had gone out from him. And he knew. He knew all that had taken place. What he wanted, I think what he wanted from this woman was just a confession of what had taken place. That's good. Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? What about your confession, my confession of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a wonderful thing. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Oh, my friend tonight, he's come. He's effected deliverance. Again, his sacrificial work at the cross. I'm glad that he said it is finished. There's salvation available for you. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. There's salvation in none other. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Are you saved tonight? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, according to his mercy, he saved us. Maybe there's someone tonight, and you would just cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. See him dying as a substitute in your stead upon the cross, the bearer of sin. Paul says, be found in him. Philippians 3 again, verse 9. Found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm just reminded, just in closing, of a dear young soul. Came to Saskatoon, ended up staying in our house. And, well, the Bible's read, and she attended that. She listened to the Bible reading, and she come to attend the gospel meetings. And she had very much within her soul a desire for peace, forgiveness, and salvation. Struggled. She was morally good living, young person attending university. But she had no peace with God. I remember her coming one day up into the living room where we were sitting, my wife and myself. weeping and saying, now's the time, now's the time. To me, it had become rather mechanical. That's all right. You just go through with this. You know, reading the scriptures and reading a little verse, maybe you can recall it. 2 Corinthians 5 and the end, verse 21 is it? He hath made him sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Over and over in that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ treated at the cross for sin on our account. It was imputed to him that there might be a righteousness stand out for us in Christ. Oh, the light dawned, the light dawned. He says, I see it now, I see it now. Oh, my friend, tonight, that you might look away from all self-effort and look to the Lord Jesus Christ in the latter part of this meeting. If you haven't already trusted him, that you might be saved and saved for eternity and saved in time for his name's sake.